Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today. You know, Acts 1:8. And if you're watching online, I'm so glad you're here. As I said before, I want you to hang in here and reach out to God, because the touch of God is going to come upon you. If you're watching this on our television show, then I believe that you will receive the touch of God right where you are as well. I have a deep sense of importance about what I'm about to tell you. I have a deep sense of commission and assignment, that the Holy Spirit, who is so often ignored, not even included in the life of the church as part of what the New Testament is all about, He is the New Testament. The New Testament is not a set of rules and a law. It's a spirit. It's an atmosphere. It's a person. It's a presence. It's an anointing. And when you receive Christ and you open up your heart to Him, the Holy Spirit comes into your world as well. And He becomes a part of you, part of who you are. He enhances you. But more than that, He gives you power. I said He gives you power. Now, some of you are too young to remember the days when you'd get in a car and you'd try and park the car. And you go, and you got a truck, or you got a big old Holden Commodore or something, and you're trying to turn that wheel, right? And then they invented something called power-assisted steering. With your little finger, you could move that wheel. No more wrestling, right? The Christian life is power-assisted, people. You don't have to struggle and strain to try and turn this thing around. When the Holy Spirit comes into your world, you get power assistance. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power." But you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's like saying, you'll be witnesses to me in Sydney, in New South Wales, Australia, and all the way to the South Island of New Zealand. Amen. Which is the ends of the earth, people. And you got to understand, we are literally going as C3 to the ends of the earth. Our Hobart pastor, Sean, he and Mirella, his wife, they are planning a church in Antarctica. You say, why would you do that? Because there are around 600 people there who live in darkness for 9 months of the year, get very depressed and ask themselves very deep questions about life. And he says, I want to go down there. He is a previous ambulance helicopter man, and so he knows how to deal with a lot of crises. But he's got a vision to plant a church, can you believe it, at the ends of the earth in Antarctica. And he says he's going to do it. You will receive power. You will receive power. I have listened to sermons of fear. It makes me feel like I've been stripped of power. I have read books that make me feel like I've been stripped of power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are empowered. You're not disempowered. You are encouraged. You're not discouraged. God will tell you who you are before He asks you to do what to do. He's going to make you into the person before He asks you to do the things that person could do. It would be a horrifying thing to think that God would say, dig a hole, and not give you a shovel. If he says dig a hole, he'll give you all the, he'll give you a bulldozer. He'll give you a digger. He'll give you everything you need to actually accomplish that purpose. Gifts and callings and ministries. But it comes from the power of the great Holy Spirit, who can turn ordinary people into extraordinary people. He can take whatever is average in your life and make it superb. That will exceed anything you thought you could possibly do. The Holy Spirit, don't think that he is unessential, inessential, non-essential. He is absolutely essential in creation. It wouldn't have happened without the Holy Spirit brooding over darkness. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it manifest in reality. He was essential in the virgin birth of Jesus. He was essential in the writing of Scripture. He was essential in the birthing of the church. He's essential in the conversion of Saul to the Apostle Paul. He was essential to David in writing the Psalms. He is utterly essential in you being born again. If he hasn't given you new birth, then we're not born again. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is to be born into it. And that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit giving you birth. Christianity is not a mental belief. It's an actual reality where you are born into a whole new world. And that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to become anything like James said before, or pray any particular prayer to get the Holy Spirit to come to earth. Jesus said, I have already prayed and asked the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. It only remains for you and I to receive him. It only remains for you and I to actually accept him. And you'll find the acts of the Holy Spirit will start to move into your life with power, with signs, and with wonders. One of the biggest things the Holy Spirit is going to do in your world is transform you. Sometimes we're working so hard to be a different kind of person. We're trying to be patient. We're trying to be joyful. We're trying to be excited. We're trying to wake up not anxious. But let me tell you this, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that means there's no room for anything else. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with joy, love, peace. I'm not filled with anxiety. I'm not filled with fear. And so often we are trying to deal with the problems by locating them and focusing on them and giving attention to them. We might be better just to put that on the side for a little bit and come over here and say, God, I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to actually feel the fire burning in my bones. So we are transformed. Check this scripture out. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, taking the masks off, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. That word is metamorpho. It means like metamorphosis. It's the same word they use when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It is that level of dramatic change that the Holy Spirit will bring into your life, that you will change from glory to glory. That once you were a crawling bug and soon you're going to be a flying eagle in Jesus' name. And it's not called evolution, it's called transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit came upon Samson, he became strong. Physical strength can come from the presence of the Holy Spirit. You might be feeling like, I'm so tired. I just feel exhausted. Emotionally, you might feel exhausted. Mentally, you just can't think straight anymore. You got 17 children, one husband, amen. 17 kids are all right, it's that one husband, amen. You've got three jobs, you got two cars, you got insurances and bills and all kinds of things coming in. And you're saying, I don't know. If I can cope with this, I just think I'll go out into the desert and pitch a tent and get out of the rat race or whatever. I don't know if I'm going to survive. Listen to me. It's not the pressure out there. It's the power in here that will sustain you. If you will reach out to God, you'll find yourself breezing through these situations and say, we can cover that. We're going to meet that. You'll find an overcoming faith on the inside of you. 1 Samuel 10:6 says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy and you'll be turned into another man. How about that? When the Holy Spirit came on Saul the king, he was changed into another person. When the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, that is the whole design of Pentecost Sunday. It's not just so that we remember what happened many years ago, 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. It's so that something can happen right now in your life in the 20th century, 21st century. Spirit came upon David and he wrote Psalms, designed a temple, slew Goliath, led a nation into victory. Spirit came upon Gideon and he beat an army that was 10 times the size. The Spirit came on Peter the fisherman and he started to preach and win thousands of people into the kingdom of God. The Spirit came upon Saul, who was a Christian-hating, church-destroying atheist. God turned him around. Well, he didn't believe in the God of the Christians anyway. He believed in the God of the Old Testament, and he thought there was a complete dissonance between the two. Eventually, the Holy Spirit came on him and transformed him so thoroughly he became the greatest builder of the church. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, I'm so convicted by the need for greater love in the world in which we live. And so was the preacher at the wedding yesterday. Amen. Praise God. Woo. What? Greater love? However big your circle is, it needs to be bigger. Whoever you've got on the inside of that circle, say, I love you, I love you. Oh, sorry, not you. You know, there are some people who hurt you 30 years ago. Time to get over it. Time to forgive them. Time to let it go. Maybe write them a letter. Give them a call. Even while I'm saying that, I'm getting convicted. I'm not without a few enemies over the years, and it's easy to get an unloving attitude. But if I go away and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, I get into a reckless attitude. I say, whatever. I'll just bless them in Jesus' name. Whatever. I'm just going to thank God for them in Jesus' name. As long as you hold on to those things, they're going to grind you into a miserable state. But here's the thing. If we are just trying to deal with the unforgiveness and the resentment and the grudge and trying to understand why we've got it and get over it and get a new mindset and all this, and you're desperately trying to work it all out, and maybe, oh God, I've got to see get therapy and understand it, like how this happened. You couldn't do that. You can go that way if you like. But there's another way. Come over here and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the power of God get inside you, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Suddenly there's a love that's overwhelming your heart for everybody around you. You find that it just actually disentangles all of the knots. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are times when I've read translations of the Scripture that say, let the Spirit control you. That's wrong. That's a wrong translation. The Holy Spirit will never control you. Demons try to control you. The devil tries to manipulate you, but God will never try to control you. He gives you self-control. So you control yourself. You are no longer a slave to sin. You've got back your ability to self-determine. And then you make the decision to submit to God and surrender to Him. And you'll find that as you have that power to rule again in life, you're able to gain self-control. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon us to give us gifts, not just attitudes and emotions. He comes upon us, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it's given to everyone for the profit of all, to benefit everybody. If anybody claims they're moving in the Spirit and it's destroying people, they're not. The Holy Spirit comes in to help you, not to hurt you. God said, if you ask your father for an egg, will he give you a serpent? If you ask him for bread, will he give you a stone? He says, so if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And he's good for you. He is helpful for you. He will not tease you. He will not deny you. He will not damage you. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The one reason God is breaking his heart for the world, he is just reaching out to say, I want to help you. We have the view that God is rushing into the earth with a big stick to bash everybody on the head who isn't doing what his. That is so far from the truth. God is way beyond that, way beyond that. He is full of this grace and love to reach every single person he possibly can on the face of this earth. And he says, I'm going to send my helper. I want to help you get to where you want to go. Whatever you need help with, whether it's coping with your family, coping with your marriage, coping with your finances, there is an assistant, a power-assisted life. He's called the Helper, the Great Encourager. And he will come alongside and help you. It says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So here's a problem. In some sections of the world in which we live, there's a thing called cessationists. I don't know if you've heard that term. What it means is that they believe that the work of the Spirit ceased. It stopped at the book of Acts. But there is no amen to the end of the book of Acts. Jesus didn't say, I'm just going to let you guys for a few years have some miracles. I mean, there were miracles in the Old Testament. So you're saying God was working there. He was working before the Old Testament. He was working during the Old Testament with the prophets, working with Jesus, working in the book of Acts. Then bang, stop. And we're all left today without that power. I've got to tell you, God is not dead. He's not even sick. He's alive and he has power, and he has power to touch people today, miraculously, to bring all kinds of courage and strength on the inside of you. Insight, prophetic insight. I was talking to a good friend of mine just this week. In South Korea, he runs the Word of Life Church in Uppsala, Sweden. And he said they've had an enormous amount of refugees come to Christ in their church. And two of them were praying about a situation they saw in the newspaper where a young person had been missing for 3 days. And the police couldn't find them. Nobody could find them. And they prayed and God showed them exactly where that person was. And they went straight to the child and then brought this young boy to the police, and they said, how'd you find him? They said, we prayed and God showed us where he was. We can help the world around us. You don't need to think that it's only gonna happen when you gather here and for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Every day of your life, you can be praying about things and God will guide you. God will speak to you. He will show you examples of what can happen if you will just say, I'm gonna meet that need. I'm going to pray for that person. You have the gift of healing inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. You have a gift of miracles inside of you. All he is waiting is for you to release that, to take advantage of an opportunity and say, let me help you. And you will find that when you do your gift, the river will flow and the wind will blow. A fire will burn on the inside of us. Sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit is simply blocked up on the inside of us because we are not releasing it to anybody. If you were to just say to somebody, let me pray for you, and especially people who have needs in healing or needs in anything they're facing in their life, in the basis of prayer, you're going to find yourself releasing people into another world. The Holy Spirit is like a river. In fact, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So it's flowing. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slower. But let me tell you this, the longer you live, the deeper it gets. The further it flows, the deeper it gets. The further it flowed from the New Testament down now, the deeper it's getting. All around the world, a greater and greater power and flow of the Holy Spirit is happening. A few years ago, there was only one church in the world that was around about 1 million people. But today, there are several churches that are in that zone. I met a gentleman this last week who's in Hyderabad in India. He has 280,000 people in his church after just a few years. I think it's like 11 years. And he has the largest church building in the world with 35,000 seats in it. And he holds 5 services a Sunday. We are living in days where that river is getting deeper, people, and you can be part of it right here in Australia. Our greatest and finest hours are yet to come upon us in Jesus' name. You know, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. He's a wind. Now, he's a rushing mighty wind. He's not a little breeze that you catch on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know if you've ever been in a tornado, but that's what a rushing mighty wind is. And the Holy Spirit is coming into your world to give you momentum, to give you motivation, to give you life on the inside like a wind. He gives you fire. You know, I mean people who are looking to entertainment to try and get excitement, looking to entertainment to try and get something going on in their life. The place where you will get fire and passion and excitement is the Holy Spirit burning in your bones. When you reach out and you say, I need that fire again. You might be sitting here this morning saying, I'm so bored with my life. You might be sitting here saying, I'm like living in a brain-crushingly boring existence. It's like watching golf eternally. You know, it's like, my God, it's like the 5-day test in Australia is losing. It's just my life is killing me. You need some fire in your bones. You need some fire in your spirit, some enthusiasm, some energy, some excitement. And you're looking everywhere else for it. If I only get there, if I have a holiday there, if we go traveling, or if I do this, listen to me, you're going to be sorely disappointed if you look anywhere else other than to heaven and for the power of the Holy Spirit to get inside your bones. And you'll be excited when you come into church. You'll be excited when you're in worship. You'll be excited when you're in prayer. Instead of groaning about these things. If you're groaning, it's because there's too much world in you. And you've lost your appetite for God. There, I just said it. It's killed your appetite. It's killed your thirst. It's killed your hunger. You thought, if I just go and do this pleasurable stuff that's a little sus, a little dodgy, I'll be okay. I can still be a Christian. You won't have passion in your bones because it quenches that fire. And the Bible says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him, because He's your secret to life. And when that life is burning on the inside of you, it's like a fire in Jesus' name. Now listen to me. Acts 3:29, I'm going to draw into a close in about 2 minutes. Acts 2:39 says, the promise is to you and to your children. If you get filled with the Spirit, let me tell you, your children are going to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe not immediately, but eventually. That flow of power is going to go through your whole family. You're going to find yourself bringing great blessing to everybody around you. I want to give you just quickly a few keys here on how you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, everybody say thirsts. That's the first thing. If you're sitting here and you say, oh, whatever, that's not thirsty. Thirsty, say, man, that preacher's kind of getting to me. I do feel a little thirsty. I saw a guy do that once in a hotel. I was in the lobby. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. He's this good old Aussie bloke. Feels like bear o'clock. This is like in the morning. I'm going, like, really? I thought about trying to help him, but we were all, anyway. This is like 9 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning. Feels like Holy Spirit o'clock, amen. Feels like time to have a drink. I need a drink. I don't know about you, but you know, you hear that phrase, right? Somebody says, oh God, I need a drink. Yeah, well, yeah, believers, we need a drink, right? Some of you are thinking, I need to just belly up to the bar and amen, and really get a fresh infilling of joy, a fresh infilling of wind, fire, and power on the inside of my soul. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I used to thirst for God. I used to be excited about stuff. And where's that gone? The needle's going down. The red light's blinking. So Jesus says, this is what you got to do. You got to come. That means change of location, whether it's 10 yards, 50 yards, or across a nation. There's a movement. Let him come to me and drink. Drinking in the New Testament is simply worshiping, reaching out to God, praying. That's how you do it. Let's all stand. Jesus said this, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit that they who believe on him would receive. Believing is the last point. 4 steps. Thirst, come, drink, believe. Believing is expecting. Don't be thinking, oh, I'll go and see if anything will happen. Say, God's going to touch me today. Put faith in there, in your heart. And if you're hungry for this, I want you to just come and stand down the front here right now.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.